All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. I'm a little short, that helps a lot. So thank you for coming. I'll be presenting some research about built environment policies and physical activity among U.S. adults. I'm here on behalf of the College of Public Health at the University of Oklahoma, where the research was conducted, as well as my current place of employment, which is Indiana University. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So this is a presentation that focuses on adult leisure time physical activity. And if you're interested in built environment, you probably know a little bit about what physical activity entails. So it obviously has lots of multiple benefits for health behavior and prevention of chronic diseases. It's defined as active movement of the body, and specifically movement that takes place outside of your occupational activities. The CDC's recommendations are that adults receive 150 minutes of moderate physical activity a week, or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity. So moderate being things like walking with minor, sweating and breathing, compared to vigorous physical activity, which involves running, swimming, things that make you work a little harder. The good news is that for the U.S., over the past several years, we have had an increase in the proportion of adults who say they are meeting physical activity recommendations. So what this graph shows you is what I just said, the proportion of adults who report meeting physical activity recommendations. And I've divided this by race and ethnicity. So what you can see is that there is a general trend, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the increase over time. But what you also see is there's a persistent 10 to 11 percentage point difference between Black and Hispanic adults compared to white adults in how much physical activity they report. So if we're talking about really changing physical activity outcomes and other health outcomes, it's not just about the aggregate, but about these disparities and what we can do to resolve those. So as many of you know, the built environment is generally discussed as something that is constructed by humans in terms of the physical environment. So we're not talking about trees and grass, we're talking about sidewalks, lighted trails, etc. So this is something that's been found to be extremely important for leisure time physical activity, because ideally, if the built environment is nice, ideally that will attract people to be more physically active outside. But what research also tells us is that where individuals live matters for how much physical activity they get and how much built environment, the quality of the built environment they're exposed to. So majority Black and Hispanic neighborhoods are usually more likely to report sidewalks and trails that are in poor condition. But they also understand this is something that's very important for them to be physically active. But again, if they don't have these types of facilities available, how likely are they to use them? And that answers the next bullet, which is Black and Hispanic adults are more likely to report physical activity if they lived in an area with greater resources for physical activity, that being built environmental facilities such as parks and recreational facilities, among others. But as many of you know, a lot of these resources are not very evenly distributed, particularly in majority-minority neighborhoods. So Black and Hispanic neighborhoods are often less likely to have access to these quality built environmental conditions. And so the question is, why might that be the case? So on the left-hand side, what you see is a graphic from Schmid et al. That I've kind of utilized for the purposes of this discussion. So theoretically, we know that generally there are factors that influence legislators to enact physical activity policy. And what we also know that the physical activity environment, especially if we think about it in terms of the built environment, that is usually associated with physical activity. So if there is a great built environment, people will be more likely to be physically active in general. But what we haven't really looked at is kind of that indirect relationship between policy, actual legislation, and its relationship on physical activity. This is important when we're talking about health and all policies and creating a built environment that's amenable to being physically active, because at the state level, oftentimes there has to be some sort of legislation in place to allow counties, to allow communities and neighborhoods to fund or construct some sort of built environment that's amenable to physical activity. And also, it's important for us to look at that association to determine the extent to which that legislation actually plays a role in disparities in physical activity among each of these groups. So this study had two objectives, the first being to look at whether built environment policies are associated with the greater odds of meeting physical activity recommendations, and then seeing whether those associations varied by race or ethnicity. So I'll move to the data and methods portion. So I used two different data sets because there's no existing data set that looks at both individual level physical activity outcomes and legislation related to the built environment. And so the National Health Interview Survey, or the NHIS, that gives us our individual level data on physical activity. Many of you are familiar with it. It's often used by the federal government and other groups to provide a general idea of how health outcomes are in terms of trends across the U.S. And the lowest level of aggregation that's publicly available is through the U.S. Census region, so people who live in the West, the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. That's how that's generally aggregated. I looked at the years 2006 to 2013 because that's the most recent sampling frame of NHIS data, and it also corresponds really nicely with a lot of the physical activity policies related to the built environment that were enacted over this time period. The second data set is the Chronic Disease State Policy Tracking System. This is a CDC database that has information about policies related to physical activity and specifically the built environment for this project. It's been frequently used in health research, but it's been gaining traction in recent years, and I'll talk to you a little bit about how I use those data. So my dependent variable was the proportion of adults who reported meeting physical activity recommendations. You can see the question listed to the left. It varies, of course, depending on whether they're talking about moderate or vigorous physical activity. It resulted in a variable of minutes of physical activity per week. Then the NHIS gives further ideas about how to categorize this variable. So I categorized this pretty much into two, a binary variable, where one meant people met or exceeded physical activity recommendations, in this case greater than 150 minutes of physical activity a week, or zero if they were inactive or insufficiently active in meeting those recommendations. My explanatory variable was built environment policy. So again, we're actually talking about the legislation that's used to create an environment that's amenable to being physically active. And so I gave you some examples on the left. You can see that some of those policies included improving the shoulders of roads, so thinking of people biking and walking, appropriating funds for safety and enhancement of the experience for people who are pedestrians or bicycle riders, incentivizing businesses to relocate to urban centers. You can think of, obviously, if a place has more businesses in a place that hasn't been traditionally great for a built environment, that might attract more people if it looks nicer, and requirements for lighting around trails. So those are just a few among several policies that were used here. In terms of measuring that policy, I summed them by each state for each year in which those policies were enacted. So I coded them as a 1 if they were related to the built environment and 0 if they were not, and then added up all those ones to create a measure of the built environment policy, and then aggregated again to the regional level, because recall with the NHIS data, those data were only at the regional level, so I was trying to match those appropriately. I then lagged the policy variable by 1 year to account for the fact that if you think about it, if policies are enacted, especially at a state level, it takes a little bit of time for that to be enacted and to actually see the results in terms of health. So what that will tell us is that a policy that was enacted in the previous year has an effect on this year's physical activity. Since my outcome was a binary variable, I used logistic regression models so that we could see the association of built environment policies with the likelihood of adults meeting physical activity recommendations. You can see the exclusions that I have here, as well as the different variables that I adjusted this model for. These are all generally things that we find to be important and strongly associated with physical activity, especially among adults. I detected a significant interaction between race and policy and region and policy, so all the results that I'm going to walk you through are going to be stratified by race and by region. So I'm getting into my results, and I'm going to start by talking and kind of walking through some of the main variables of interest and some of their descriptive information. So this is the proportion of adults who report meeting physical activity recommendations just in my sample. You can see that white adults had a significantly higher proportion of people who reported meeting those recommendations compared to black or Hispanic adults. Also, people who lived in the western U.S. were more likely to meet those recommendations, and that's something that held regardless of their race or ethnicity. This shows us what built environment policies look like by region. You can see that for the years 2009 to 2011, it was a really great year for built environment policies at the state level. We had a large increase in terms of the number of policies enacted at the state level. You can also see the South had the greatest number of policies enacted, and significantly more so than the other three regions looked at in the study. So these are the results of the regression models related to built environment policies and physical activity recommendations. So what you can see is on the left-hand side, I have the regional names with the race and ethnicity of the adults in the sample on the top bar. The bolded values indicate that it was significant. You can see that for black adults in the South, built environment policies were associated with a greater likelihood of meeting physical activity recommendations. Whereas for Hispanic adults in the West, those same policies were actually associated with the lower likelihood of meeting physical activity recommendations. So this is just a recap of what I just showed you. You can see again that we have differences by race and ethnicity, and particularly that white adults, there were null effects regardless of whatever region they were in. And so the question is to understand why that's the case. Of course, if we're talking about health disparities, especially in physical activity, understanding what these built environment policies look like in terms of why they had the variation in outcomes. So in terms of strengths, I think this is a novel examination of public safety policy. I do that for this one, actually. Built environment policies and physical activity outcomes in adults. I actually looked at a variety of policy areas, and this was one of them as well. And to actually disaggregate these results by race and ethnicity is also very important because we're talking about disparities again and understanding how these policies play a role among different groups. Lagging the effects of the policy variable, I think, also helped create more explanation for us as public health practitioners understanding what that policy actually means over time for outcomes. As I mentioned before, I had to aggregate the data to the regional level, and as a result, or perhaps related to that, the effect size was a little smaller than I might have anticipated. But if you think about the fact that we're looking at data at the regional level and how those policies at the regional level are associated with individual level outcomes, the fact that we still had pretty strong results in terms of the confidence intervals indicates that there's still something there, right? It's not just some strange relationship, that there's something consistent in spite of the other factors at the individual level. And so in terms of public health significance, I'll break this down really in two ways. The first is the unintended consequences of public policy, and especially when we're talking about creating policy environments for the built environment. It's important for us to improve the built environment, and it may be an effective approach, but remember, we had mixed results depending on the at-risk population. So thinking about pushing built environment policies, but recognizing that they may have mixed effects and may not have the effects that we would like them to. And secondly, understanding the role of collaboration between public health practitioners and legislators when it comes to actually crafting some of these policies. It's important for us to understand how they're implemented, not just the fact that they are. We can think that there were differences in terms of race or ethnicity, but certainly, which I didn't show you, were some of the control models, and there are variations not just by race, but within racial groups in terms of sex, in terms of education. And so there are other factors in these cultural environments and regional environments that may also play a role that legislators may not be fully aware of when they're designing and implementing some of these policies. So I think we're saving our questions for the end. So, all right. Well, thank you very much.